us to pursue this matter in the sense of a public debate about the issues.
Okay, I'll withhold.
It isn't that I don't want to answer questions that are in the minds of students about the practical matters, but for you to address questions to me at this point about your particular personnel needs, and the same, Mr. Brandt, I think is true in your case. I think it's.
I will accept. Terms regarding my case on the condition that you and I will be able to meet quite soon.
Sure.
Quite soon. But I would like to ask you some questions about other matters that came up last Tuesday that I don't believe were clarified.
All right, as long as it's not about your case.
No, okay. Right. Okay, fine. I accept that the condition I'll be able to meet with you soon, and that after our meeting I may make public certain statements then. And the fact that you should feel free to public statements after our meeting also. Unless during the course of our meeting we both mutually agree not to make these things public. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about was one of the students' questions. And he asked you whether or not you would publicly state that every instructor had a right to use whatever text he desired in his field, in his courses. Now, as I recall your reply, you said that you left those matters up to the individual departments. Now, I do not consider that to be an adequate answer, because it seems to me that if these departments themselves, the majority of the members of the department vote, for example, for censorship, if they vote that individual faculty members cannot use certain texts in their classes, but this does not constitute academic freedom. But academic freedom begins with the individual faculty.
Well, Fred, I really base my position on the position of the AUP. This is pretty internationally or nationally at least accepted. In which, for purposes of reaching agreed upon expected outcomes for a particular course, that the faculty teaching the same sections of a course do in fact have an obligation to work together and agree on what text it is that they're going to use for these particular sections of a course. That doesn't mean that an instructor cannot, in fact, ask students to do collateral reading, outside reading that's different than or beyond, but that the basic material that is to be covered in such a course must, in fact, have to be and meet the minimum requirement that has been agreed upon by the faculty, all teaching the same sections of a similar course. And it's particularly obvious if that course is one that leads to, or is a prerequisite to, other courses in a sequence. And this is what I'm saying.
I understand that. I understand that logic, but that to me does not preclude the possibility that an instructor may want to use as a required text another course besides that.
Another text besides that. You mean eliminating the one? Eliminating
Well,
you see, I didn't say that he couldn't use additional reading material over and above what it was that was being used in the agreed upon sequence for the course.
As a required text.
Can I say something?
Well, in the interest, you see, in the interest of economy, if for no other reason, if you are going to, in one section of the course, say that all students must buy this book as the text, and this book costs $5, And so the faculty member, all the faculty members teaching that particular course, all sections of it agree, and that is the required text. One faculty member then says, and he's teaching one, he says, now in addition to this course, for my class, you must buy this additional text. It could be less money, it could be more money. The point really is that I think that there is a problem related to forcing the students in one section to do more in terms of a financial obligation to take that same course than if they took it from another instructor in another section.
Sorry, but I just can't accept that logic because...
Well, now, you don't have to accept the logic. You asked me a question. You asked me the question as to why did I say what I did. Now I've told you that. You've told the students that you don't accept the logic of my position.
I want to explain the rationale behind my refusal to accept it.
Okay, but I don't intend to comment on it further.
Okay, you don't have to comment on it further. I, as an instructor, feel that I would be censored if I were told by my chairman or even by the majority of people in my department that I had to use one particular required text for any course. I consider it my duty, in fact, to cover a certain amount of material in the course. I do not, however, consider it to be the prerogative of either my chairman or the other department members to prescribe exactly how I shall fulfill that duty. If they tell me that I must use this required text, or that I cannot require another text besides the main text, that to me is censorship, pure and simple. And I do not think that you're going to find contradictions in the AAUP.
To your position?
To that
or
position.
Or to my position?
To my position.
I can prove that you'll find no contradiction to it in my position.
I'll ask you to cite those things in the AAUP.
I'd only like to say one thing. When you start talking about assigning courses, faculty members have to be reasonably considered about students. That's something that, as a student, really bothers me when I, for example, had taken a class in English and bought a book, had to drop out of that class for some reason, then come back and had a different instructor who didn't require that book and had to buy another book. And that's as a student, I just don't have money to waste like that. And, there has to be some reliance, some kind of
question.
I think there has to be something reasonable about it.
Do
you have a question?
On the different books for the same course in English, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I noticed that different teachers I've had, you know, require different books for the same course. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's when they haven't made, you know, that's because the department, the personnel in the department have not agreed to have the same book, you see. And all I say is any faculty member in a department, when they meet on this subject to discuss it, if he is persuasive enough to convince the other faculty members that they should not, in fact, have a similar text, that then he will have achieved his objective. But, you know, in English, Fred, and having a long time ago taught English courses, I would say that I can understand your position and particularly your feeling about it in this area, but if we moved over into the area of mathematics with certain specific requirements to move a group of students that are preparing one particular course to make sure that they have fulfilled the minimum expected outcomes from that particular course, there are a number of sections of this. It would seem that we would have to accept the idea that the faculty themselves, not with the dictation of the president, saying to them, look, you have no authority to, as a group, decide upon which book textbook it's going to be used, that you must leave that up to each faculty member, and that he can in fact pick a book which will not move that particular section of that course either in the same direction or at the same speed or get them to the same place. And so you could have 40 students in one section, trying to fulfill a prerequisite for another course, that would at the end of that period of time definitely not be prepared for the, either the next course or whatever support they needed in the sense of accomplishment in that. Now, as I say, I think that you know, you can feel strongly about this because you see the fact that in some of the courses you teach that perhaps it would make very little difference.
I believe that it could make very little difference as well in mathematics, physics, some of the science classes, as long as the essential information were taught. You don't have to use the same text to teach essential information. That's a fact, pure and simple. You don't need the same text to teach essential information.
Isn't it a technical problem, though, in a way?
I think it is. It's up to the fact.
The fact is that if there is a controversial text that is pertinent to the class, one which may not be popular with the so-called establishment, this should not be allowed to be used in that class. Do you agree with that?
That's right. I agree with that. You see, and the point really is that you have to be careful. You see, that the same position that you take in an attempt to take that position, you know, in order to solidly stand behind the idea that you're going to let it, any faculty member use any textbook at any time because of the possibility that somebody is going to dictate to him and not let him use a text that you say that is so controversial that the so-called establishment would not like to have it used. What can happen that in another area where it's not controversial at all, that the same concept will carry over, and so some rebellious faculty member who for no damn reason other than the fact that he just does not want to do what his colleagues want to have done will stand on the principle and say, I'm going to use another textbook no matter what it does. Now, my point really is that I am not in a position as an administrator to make those kind of evaluations about the textbooks used in the departments, in the various disciplines, for the various courses, but the people who are the faculty members, that may in fact be a fire drill. the people who are the faculty members in the department. And as I said before, I think it is a responsibility of the faculty to make those kinds of decisions. And while you may have your questions about it, Ralph, and Fred has indicated that it's a feeling of rejection of this idea that the faculty shouldn't be able to force, as you would indicate, an agreement on a text.
Can we take up an associated question? I know that I feel that I want to use this time as much as possible, at least, and maybe we can get back to that. How much influence do you have on what goes into the Mustang newspaper?
I have absolutely. If I had any influence on what goes into the Mustang Daily, as you're suggesting, I would spend a lot more time trying to get some kinds of things in that would support the position that I try to hold. I don't see that I have been very well supported. I don't see why you would even raise the question. What makes you think?
Well, I was thinking of a case where a student who had done a report on Fred Rizzo, and I think he's getting one ready on myself, and he wanted to have it put in the Mustang. He hasn't been able to get it in the Mustang.
Let me put it like this. I don't know that to be a fact. I don't know anything about it. I don't have any influence on what goes into the Mustang as the one-time advisor for the Mustang. And that was a long time ago. And I think that one of the things that didn't get reported, and in fact, I told Peterson a little while ago about that. Talk about things that don't get reported in the Mustang. It was about a year ago that I, in an almost single-handed effort, opposed the position of a trustee committee that was trying to put through a restriction on what would go in college newspapers that had to do with political matters. And they had a resolution set up that said that in no college newspaper could contain any editorial matter that was of a political nature and so on. And this was not going through skimmingly. I think the president student body was there at the time. And as the chairman of the Student Affairs Committee of the State Valley President's Association, I spoke against it. And it was quoted in the AP and the UP and the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee, and I got clippings from all over the country about the position I took, specifically because it involved a very tough dialogue between myself and Dudley Swim over the problems of freedom of press. And I thought I did pretty well because they put it down. And a number of the trustees were very mad at me about this thing and came to me and said, now you screwed it up. Now what are you going to do? As chairman of the committee, what substitution do you have for this? And I say, I have no substitution. They should have a right to put political opinions in their newspapers. Now, the Mustang did not carry that story. I don't know why they didn't carry it. I thought it was one that they would have picked up and done quite a bit about. But they didn't care. Do you recall them saying anything about it? I'm defending the freedom of press of a student publication, and it gets no coverage. Now you ask me the question, do I have any influence over the Mustang? I evidently don't.
Do you have conferences, or does any of the administration have conferences with the editors of the Mustang, briefing them on the administrative position?
No, the only meeting that I had with the editor of the Mustang was the public press conference that I had after, you know, you people had a meeting on Thursday a couple of weeks ago, in which there was a great deal said about the cases of both of you gentlemen.
You mean in the air conditioning auditorium?
In the air conditioning auditorium. And on the, and I don't know whether it was on Friday or that was the following Monday, I asked for a press conference in which the KCPR and the Mustang and other news media came, and I explained the position from my point of view. And that was reported. and at that point, Ian McCabe was present, probably other representatives of the Mustang, but so also were all the press. And that was not what you call a briefing, that was a press conference. I think you could ask these questions. You see, you're asking them of me as though there were no other source. You can ask it of Ian McCabe. You can ask it of the KCPR staff.
Well, we can get sometimes a better answer right from the horse's mouth.
All right. I sometimes feel like the horse's mouth.
A question that I have and a number of students have is this. It's quite obvious by the people who received tenure in the last few years that that you've regarded the PhD requirement as not always necessary. I know that you stated that in particular disciplines the PhD degree simply isn't required in order to function well. I understand that logic, but it seems to me that there's some difficulty when we come down to individual cases. This year, for example, you overrule your own dean and chairman in the case of one member of the English department.
Wasn't over the PhD. Had nothing to do with the PhD, so don't mix them up.
No, I'm not. I'm going to explain the rest of it right now. That means he does not have a PhD. In fact, he doesn't.
Yes, he does have a PhD. You're talking about the English department, the speech department?
He doesn't even have a degree in English.
Okay.
He has a bachelor's and he has a master's. Neither one of them are in English. He has a master's of education. You overruled your chairman and your dean in giving him tenure. I find that hard to conceive. On the one hand, I was glad because I talked to this person. In fact, I've talked to other individuals who came here before, and they came here with the understanding that they didn't have to have the PhDs in order to be granted tenure, in order to be held on here and eventually granted tenure.
Wait a minute. I know the case you're talking about because I know the first person, and he's a real good friend of mine, and he told me that...
I'm not sure you do know the case.
I'm sure I know the case.
Because I didn't know for a minute. No. Wrong one.
Okay,
we have to be a little careful because, you know, there's lots of similarities between these cases.
Okay.
And Fred's got a good point. Go ahead.
Right. And I believe it's more than just a good point. The chairman.
Well, it's a hell of a good point.
I think you both are. And the fact is, this man doesn't have. I am glad that he got it because in my discussions with him, it appeared to me what he said when he came here. He had the understanding that he did not have to pursue get any further degrees. Not have to pursue his education to get further degrees. And so when he got tenure, I was happy about that. In that the original agreements between him and the administration had been fulfilled. Fine. Okay. About that part, I was happy. But now other people have come here with those same original agreements and having even more academic credentials, having degrees in their own field, even advanced degrees in their own field, such as MA degrees, perhaps even more than one MA degree. And yet, they've been denied tenure. It seems to me there's a definite lack of logic here.
Well, whether you call it lack of logic, consistency or flexibility, you know, it all depends on, you know, whether you're looking to give credit or to criticize. The fact is that in the case that Dr. Riso was talking about,
I'll make it public later.
I don't think you should bring in other cases because I think the principle can be discussed without mentioning.
Yeah, oh, if necessary, I must say, as is obvious, I didn't want to make it public right now. I may later. Anyway, go ahead. Proceed with your answer.
Well, you know, when you take that position, Brad, I begin to feel like I need a lawyer here to decide whether or not I should make any comment. You know, when you say that you'll decide later whether you're going to do what it is that you're going to do. You see, now, when do I decide later? Do I decide now that I'm not going to respond?
You're a free man, too.
All right, so later I can decide what?
I will violate
the confidence of this particular personnel case?
Let me put it this way. That question about confidence has come up to me several times. For example, I've been accused of violating confidence by revealing what's in my file. Let me hold back on that and wait for you to answer about that person who doesn't have any degrees in his field, why he was given tenure.
Well, I suppose it was because you said it was his department head and his chairman voted against him, but the tenured members voted for him.
His department head and the dean voted against him, and the
tenured members voted for him. That's the answer. Case, that was the answer.
Well, what happens in those other cases when tenured members are
all right, now I'll move over into another field in which the problem related to the doctorate is a more serious one. That would be in some of the science areas. Some of the science areas. And in those areas, it is considered greater need than it is in the area of English by many people. Now, the fact that you're tenured members in some of the departments may or may not feel that way doesn't eliminate my responsibility. And, you know, I've discussed it quite lengthily, not only for about an hour and a half on Wednesday, but a couple of hours in here yesterday with many of the same questions being.
This is an issue which my department teacher Tony, why don't you bring this out? What's giving here? There are a lot of fellows in our department just don't understand this situation. I was denied tenure the same year that a person with a master's degree in physics was given tenure. I don't begrudge him receiving that tenure. He may be a better man than I am, for all that matter. But it certainly isn't that I have not been released because I don't have the doctorate. Now, let me refresh your memory on the conversation we've had. I don't think it's particularly public. In fact, maybe you'll feel that it clarifies your own position. We had a conference on this, and you said, Ralph, I'd grant you the tenure if you had the doctorate or if your evaluations were higher, either one or the other. Do you remember that?
Yes, I surely do, and that is basically the answer to the question.
But I haven't heard that second one come out. It's always the doctorate now, and I have no defense against that. If it's strictly
and
that,
Ralph,
was it...
put it like this. I must say to you that I have... You gave the answer to the group here as to why there was a difference. Why there was
okay.
a difference. Okay? You already gave it, and I don't have to repeat it. That's what was the difference. And all I can say, it is not my nature, and it is not now my nature, to try to say to anyone who is not going to be reemployed here or not being given tenure or that I have some information in my hand which makes this thing undesirable for a particular reason from my point of view. I mean, I'm just trying not to do that. And so all I can say is that, sure, I have rested my case, on the business of the doctrine. And it's a valid one, as I said to you in our conference, in our office. It is what I believe. And I'm trying to strengthen the department. And while it may be inconsistencies, as I say, and as you said, to give one man who has a master's in physics, to give him tenure. I did that because I had recommendations all the way to do this on his behalf. And it also was a master's in physics. Now, I'm not, because of the scope of the things that I have to take care of in terms of this institution, I am not completely aware at any moment of what every faculty member has in his background, whether he's got a master's degree in this or that or the other thing. But would you mind explaining what your background is in terms of your degrees and in which fields you got those degrees so that we'll refresh my memory? Because I think there was a relationship to this and part of what we were concerned about.
I have a master's in education and a master's in physical science, which is a content master's. It isn't an education master's, it's a broad master's, however.
Was it a master of science degree?
Yes.
A master of science in what?
In physical science.
Excuse me, Ralph.
Or
natural science.
Natural science. There is no difference, Dean Fisher, when one considers the coursework that I had, because it was physics. I know you are extremely concerned with what appears on paper, and on paper you're absolutely right. It says Master of Natural Sciences, so I yield to that. But I think that we should also be concerned with substance here today.
All right.
And I have
this
work
has
been basically in physics and in geology.
Pardon?
Physics and geology.
Degrees?
No, I have no degree in geology. But I have taken coursework in geology.
Yeah, so did I. In fact, I belong to the National Honorary Geological Society from San Diego State College. But that doesn't make me much of an expert in the field of geology, and I kind of ignore it. But because I took courses in it, you know. But my point really, Ralph, but is it's what I said to you in the letter. I've done everything I can to make sure that you understand that I want you back here on this faculty. I want you to do what I think you should in fact do for your own career. That you should in fact have the credential that will be of value to you, and you can get it, and you know you can get it, and there's no reason why you shouldn't get it.
Well, let me comment on that for just a moment. I have taken coursework in these subject areas, which really are not reflected in any degree. I mean, I have taken coursework in geology and physics, and the equivalent to somewhere around a little less than 2 doctoral degrees. The coursework that, if you consider 60 semester hours as that for a doctorate, then if you take the work that I've done in mathematics and in physics and geology, you will find that I have approximately 2 doctoral degrees. And I think that, well, I don't have the PhD, then probably you wish to have people who specialize. You don't have room here in the physics department for someone who has a broad background in these areas. Although I do teach a course which requires a broad background.
Yeah. I wonder if I
would
see
consideration, but I think, you see, you premised this question by saying that you have read about some outstanding scholars, distinguished persons who have been added to university faculties, basically without degrees, because they have brought to that institution a name or a particularly outstanding reputation for performance in a particular field. Not because of a large accumulation of graduate or undergraduate units in a number of different areas, even though that might be desirable in terms of breadth of the program. Now, I think the point that is continues to be overlooked here, and I've tried to stress it, is that in terms of accreditation for the School of Engineering, sound as though I'm a parrot on this because I've said it so many times, but it is my great concern, and it is what motivated me to take the action that I have taken. It motivates me to try and inspire Ralph to do what it is that I want him to do, sincerely want him to do, because in the exit interview of the ECPD accreditation team that came here, they did in fact point to the physics department and say, needed to do something to increase the scholarly background of that department. And true enough, we've added lots of new faculty members in the department with the doctorate, but they were particularly concerned with the updating of those faculty members that had been with us, and particularly concerned that I not add any more tenured members who did not have the doctorate. Now, this was a very compelling thing as far as I was concerned. They will come back in 5 years. I'm moving toward trying to do something about that. Now, that does not apply to every field across the board. While they didn't make that statement, about the English department, I think...
Was that about the English department?
No, I say they did not make that statement about the English department. They didn't make that statement.
You visited us.
Yes, and I made a statement about, and I read you a paragraph out of the Western College Association's accreditation, which is an across the board.
Recommending PhD.
Yes, right, they certainly
in the
did.
Department.
That's right.
And you gave fame to the guy who doesn't have any degrees.
But they didn't recommend exactly the same thing. They were not concerned with they saw what we were doing. They saw that we were moving, and that we were getting some of the people who were in the department to do some things about it, to take sabbaticals and to move toward getting professional improvement. Well, this is why I have asked, and why it appears that there is some kind of an inconsistency here that Mr. Branham himself mentioned, that one member of the faculty in physics is given tenure, not the doctorate, but with very outstanding recommendations and recommendations for him all the way through.
How do you compare, Dr. Kennedy, recommendations from within Cal Poly with publications that a person has? I mean, I have published.
Yes, that's right. And
I'm continuing
if
to do
that's
this.
Right.
Does this count? Because my case, which disturbed me considerably, was, gee, it doesn't seem to make any difference
Well, let me put it like this, Ralph. We have said at this institution for many years, and we continue to say it, that we are, talk about being locked into things. We are not locked into the idea of publish or perish. We have never said that a man has to, in fact, publish in order to continue his job here.
Good question.
Well,
I think it's a good answer. I'm satisfied with the answer. I don't agree with you, but that's besides the point. I'm satisfied that you feel that. I'm really a teacher. My publishing is not that research-oriented. It's toward the classroom, toward the science classroom itself. So I don't.
In fact, what was the book that you published recently? What was the
junior high school science experiences? Yeah. And we're having an interdisciplinary major coming to Cal Poly, where my experience in this field would have helped.
Let me put it like this, Ralph. Book didn't impress the Engineering Council for Professional Development to write one on that had to do with the junior high school.
But wouldn't it impress perhaps the education department here? Isn't this important? I mean, you talked about evaluations that, from within Poly as being important. Wouldn't this be?
Well,
you see, what I have to get straight, and I haven't got it straight now, is why I was denied tenure in these circumstances. And I'm sorry.
I've told you, and that's it.
Kennedy?
I've offered.
Perhaps it's satisfying to everybody else, and that's all right. I really quit a long time ago.
I'm sure that you have many friends and many people who will support you all the way. And all I can do is to honestly say that, as I have, I'm encouraging you to do what I've asked you to do. I have offered you, and you know it because you must have it in your hand by now, in my response to your letter. I have not only offered you the opportunity to be re-employed in this institution, but to be re-employed without change in rank or salary step in any way, and to be re-employed if at that time that you come back, within 3 years, and that certainly is sufficient time, and that's the length of time that the physics department faculty, when I asked them what would be a reasonable length of time, they said 3 years. That I have said that this offer is open until September 1st, 1974. And I have said that when you reapply, that if it is legally possible for a president of a California State College at that time to give instant tenure, you will get tenure when you reappoint. Now, that is basically the same as tenure. All you have to do is to get that doctorate and come back.
Well, you see, what bothers me is that it looks like it's so close to my own position, which is, if I have tenure now, I will feel that I'm part of Cal Poly, that I have something to come back to. Let me say this about it, Ralph.
You've taken, as you said, you've taken enough courses after your master's or after your bachelor's degree. After your bachelor's degree, to have given you what you think is two doctorates, and yet you haven't done it. Now, what I'm saying to you is that once you get tenure, I have no further way in which to encourage you to do what it is that you need to do in order to help me improve the reputation of this particular department. And I'm saying to you that you can, in fact, do it this way. You know you can do it this way. You've already proved it in terms of the number of graduate units that you've taken. And I would say that there are reputable, recognized institutions that will accept and give you great, great credit for the coursework that you have taken. I'm saying to you that is in my opinion, that it is an appropriate offer. And really, I really don't know why we debate it publicly anyway.
Never free from this incident. level of my evaluation, what are the reasons for my recommendation, or against the entire or the appointment promotion incentive. I never have. So in as much as it's been said now in print and in public, several times, Mr. President, I did not understand why he did not grant it. The President has explained why he did not grant it. The only thing I can explain is why I recommended the net sin. The reasons that a dean has recommended for or against are not necessarily known to the President agrees. Why the President said why he didn't grant it, and all I can tell you is why I recommended the net sin for the French case, and I hope you will appreciate the significant trauma that this caused. The fact that it has stated so frequently, so to him, the reason is not known. I hope you know. Okay. Mr. Brannan has a bachelor's degree in anthropology. He has a master's degree in education. He has a master's degree in natural science. He has taught at the elementary and secondary level prior to his coming to California. And previously, he had the capable fancies of position in a college or university in place. I appointed him in 1966 to teach in the area of general physical science, specifically courses in physical science 101 and 103. These courses were required for a bachelor's degree in elementary education. They were required as part of general education hired by the social science major and by the English major. The legislature abolished the bachelor's degree in education. They no longer had a preliminary education law. The College Coordinating Committee on Teacher Education recommended that anybody going into elementary school not take general physical science 101 and 3 and 4, that they take bio 107 and 9, making it 7. Social Science Department, the English Department, deleted its requirement to students take physical science 101 and 3. The E Department has deleted its requirement for taking 1 and 3. The Home Economics Department deleted its requirement for integration with all of its students take general physical science 101 and 3. The year Mr. Brannan came, they had 790 students enrolled in that same. Last year they had 400 and some of them. The primary reason for Mr. Brannan's appointment has disappeared. The primary reason for his appointment has disappeared with his particular background of helping people who are teaching in the elementary school and junior high school. Mr. Brannan is expert in junior high school science, source materials. Now, unfortunately, we don't have anybody going through getting secondary teaching credentials in physical science. We don't have anyone. We haven't anybody who has a credential in physical science for several years. That's one facet of me. Now, I have explained that to Mr. Brannan in my letter to him in October 30th of 1969, 15 months ago, 16. A second facet, he does not have a doctorate in physical science. He does not have a doctorate in physics. He does not have a doctorate in geology. Stacy has had lots of courses. He has done a fine temporary job in introduction to geology, basically reading. As a matter of transcript record, what credit is going, what needs to go on, what salaries go on, and so on. Mr. Brannan has one strictly graduate level course in geology. Now, he has some other courses in geology in the state. That were he a graduate student in geology, he could get graduate credit for, although they are junior and senior level courses. He does not have even the equivalent of a bachelor's degree in geology. That's the second factor. The third major factor is the college's administrative manual for many years stated that an individual should be evaluated in the top 2 out of 5 categories to be recommended in the 10. a recommendation from my department recommending tenure for a man who doesn't have adequate academic qualifications for courses he's taking, when the need for his services and he doesn't have high evaluations, I would be derelict in my duty if I said to the president he ought to give the future of this institution, this department, for the next 20, 35 years, the person that lacks every one of those categories. I have never in any instance, even as Mr. Brandon personally,
physical sciences, for one thing, will require more than one instructor, so that it has now, and it looks as though the course may, if anything, go up in enrollment in the future. I checked with the education department, Chairman Christensen, on that matter, and he seemed to be interested in a broadening of the coursework to be offered for those who are going to become elementary teachers, and there is now a department at Cal Poly which has part of the child development department where the people are being trained to go into elementary school. So this idea of my lack of fit here is perhaps a little premature. And this may grow in the future. You're talking about 20 or 35 years from now. So I think that should be considered.
Let me speak to that point. The child development major department has not had talk about the new interdisciplinary major. The college doesn't have interdisciplinary major. There is not even one in the college's academic master plan for the next 5 years. I talk about rhythm.
I know. I know, Dean Fisher, you always have emphasized that. And the discussions that Marie Pfeiffer had apparently with her department in altering the requirements for the majors so that they could have the option of taking introductory chemistry or introductory physical science apparently escaped your notice. So much so that... Pardon? I know it wasn't. I'm perfectly well aware of that, but I'm also well aware that it went up for approval, and there was some sort of approval in the Academic Senate, and you opposed the transfer of that, as I recall, from chemistry to physical science.
I opposed any action of the Academic Senate, remember their own, that has not been processed by the Department of There was no vote presented when the 1971-72 catalog of materials was proposed to the Child Development Department to make any change. I oppose in principle the Academic Senate as an open committee being a committee of the whole department. Not only about chemistry and physical science, but as a principle, I don't believe that any governmental body can operate as a committee of the whole from the tail of the
unfortunately, I have to leave, and as soon as the president, I have 1 o'clock class, he has a 1 o'clock point, so we have to call this to the end day, but we'll hopefully do a lot more. Thank you.
Should I just contact your secretary then?
I'm sorry.
I understood the technical reason.